Tell you he's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's real because he's in my soul. Deep down in my soul, he's real. I want to thank God you all that's been hanging in here and waiting on us patiently for the last several days. The enemy had attacked the broadcast, and that's what I'm going to call it. But, you know, I try in everything, I try to get the spiritual part out of it. Because of the message, because of what God had put in our spirit, the enemy didn't want it to go forth. But trust me, brothers and sisters, there's no stopping God, bro. Message. Satan can do all he want to do. It ain't going to stop it. But I'm so happy that Pastor Bill hung in there with us. Today I'm going to ask her if she'll be so kind to give us a word of prayer. And y'all know today is Thankful Thursday. Is that right, Pastor?
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
Yeah, today is Thankful Thursday. I tell you, this holiday stuff kind of do something to you. But today is Thankful Thursday. Hallelujah. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God. You, me, in Christ Jesus, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Matter of fact, I like 16 too, because it's talk about rejoicing in it. Hallelujah. But we're going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll come and however the Lord leads, and we'll hear from her at this point in time.
Amen, amen. So good afternoon, everyone. It is so good to be back on the Word at noon and be able to give thanks that God is working things out for our good. The scripture I'd like to open with is coming from Psalms 100 and verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endure to all generations. Amen, amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Thanking you, Father God, for another day. Thanking you, Father God, that we're able to come together and share the word and hear the word and meditate on the word. We're thankful, Father God, for our pastor as he teaches the word. And we bind up all things that try to hinder the word from going forth. And we bind up anything in our life that is not like you, Father God. We're thankful for those that are listening by internet, Father God. We ask that you continue to be with them also. Lord, we just ask that you will be with all those that are sick and shut in. And those who are bereaved and those who are going through, Father God, because in your word it tells us by your stripes we're healed and you will keep the imperfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And we are to trust you. And there is nothing impossible for you to do. So, Father God, we just standing on the word, Father God, and trusting in you and believing that you are working things out for our good. Father God, we ask that you will bless each and every one, and we give you praise, and we're thanking you for all things. In Christ Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Hallelujah. I know we've been talking about dealing with having your own faith life. And that's very important, brothers and sisters, because once you have experienced God kind of faith, you'll be unhappy when you have to depend on somebody else's faith. It's like you have your own house, and all of a sudden now you got to live in somebody else's house. It's just not pleasant. But it's worse than that, to be honest, because You can't please God without faith. Okay? Just let me go on and throw that out there while I'm throwing some things around. But the more I think about it, the more I see people with misplaced faith. They don't understand. We have to understand that we have to depend on God's faith and not others' faith. A lot of us right now still practicing some of what grandmama taught and what auntie taught and what uncle and Reb and all. No, you got to have your own faith. The just shall, I want y'all to hear this, it's the just shall live by his own faith. I can't live by those that have been made right, okay, have to live by their own faith. Some people are trying to live by the law. Can't do it. I'm going to ask Pastor to find the scripture in a moment. Because over in Romans 10, I think it's 10 and 4, there's a lot in this scripture that we never really explored. But and I know this is a thankful Thursday, but we hadn't been on, so we'll go there in a moment with Thankful Thursday. But I want to establish something here, and that is that you're going to have to live by your own faith. So don't, and we understand faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. But the faith has to be the word of God. But you can have a misplaced faith. You can have a wrong faith. You can be using the word of God wrongly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
That's why he says rightly divide. Because if you can rightly do a thing, you can wrongly do it. So he says rightly divide the word of faith. You have to rightly divide this thing. So in Romans, I think it's 10 and 4. I'm going to ask Pastor, she'll read that.
Okay. End of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Amen.
Got another version too, Pastor?
Yes, from the New Living Version. It says, for Christ has already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. As a result, all who believe in him are made right with God. Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
It's not for everybody. Amen. I'm going to say a couple of things because I know there's some people really trying to depend on the law. Listen, brothers and sisters, Christ is the end of the law. The law was called the law of sin and death. But I'll talk about that in a moment. But first, I want to make sure if anybody, I'm going to start with Pastor, anybody have anything special they want to be thankful for on this Thankful Thursday, which happens to be the last one of this year. So I'm going to open it up and what's her name? Evangelist William, this other William, not Mother William, the other William. She lost her God, I think it's her godmother. But anyway, she was just taking it real hard. We told her we'll lift up in prayer, so let me go and throw that out there while I'm doing stuff.
Yeah.
And at this point in time, we're going to ask anyone have anything they want to share. Start with you, Pastor.
All right, Pastor. I was, when we were talking about faith, Hebrews, of course, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse, where it tells us that it is impossible to please him without it. We have to have it. I was trying to get to it so I could read it. Don't want to misquote it. Because I'm reminded of how the lady touched the hem of his garment, and it took faith for her to press through that cloud and touch the garment of Jesus, and he was made whole by her faith. So we should have faith. But Hebrews 11:6, reading from the King James, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So reading that also from the New Living Translation, it says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." So we have to have that faith. Trust in God. Believe in it. Claim it. And just let God do his will. Do his will. So, yes, it's important for us to have that faith in God that Pastor is talking about. Because without it, we can't please him, as the scripture says. And that's Hebrews 11:6. Then I'll read it from the Message Bible as well. Then I'll turn it over to someone else that may like to have something to say. So from the Message Bible, Hebrews 11:6. I just read more Hebrew, okay? Hebrews 11:6 from the Message Bible. "We know on the basis of a reliable testimony that before he was taken, he pleased God." They're talking about Enoch there. Okay, the sixth verse says, "It's impossible to please God apart from faith." And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe. See, we have to believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. Amen, amen. Back to you, Pastor.
Okay, anyone else, just press 1. Anyone else, this is Thankful Thursday. This is Thankful Thursday. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Anyone else?
Amen.
Thankful Thursday. Well, there's 2 things we're going to deal with here. First of all, you got to have your own faith. And then when you do Romans 10, you'll see, we'll just read the whole thing, and then we'll go back to that part right here. It says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." So, it's not for everybody. It's just for those that believe.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's still people who want to practice the law. But Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Not for everyone, but for those that believeth. Now, for those that believeth, You don't live by that law.
Mm-hmm.
It's over as far as you're concerned, because you're believing in Christ. And we'll get to that another time and another day. But I just want to finish this point. He said, for Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. People can't live by the law, brothers and sisters. Let me be real clear. Because if you break one, you done broke them all. And I got plenty of paper for you to show you that. But the righteousness which is of faith, see, our righteousness has to be of faith. Well, what did it say? It says, speak on this wise. Say not in your heart, who shall ascend into the heavens, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what says it? See, faith is going to always speak. Faith is going to always speak. So he said, okay, but what says it? Now, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You got to preach faith, man. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God have raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the reason I read all of that is because it's talking about your faith. There is two kinds of faith. I'm not going to deal with it today. Some people want to claim it's more, but we know at least there's two kinds. There's a wrong kind of faith and a right kind of faith. There is the faith of the law of Moses, and then there's the faith having in Jesus Christ. You got to have one or the other. That's why I say it's only two. You're going to either believe in the laws of Moses, or you're going to believe in Christ. You're going to put faith in and trust in the things of Moses, or you're going to put faith and trust in the things of God. Now, we are part of the new creation. That's what makes this so unique. And put a pin there for a moment. Having your own faith life is so important. But it's more important that you have the right faith. Now, when I read 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, has become a reality. Listen, brother, sister, that has to become more than a fact. It has to become a reality. Hey, your faith is in Christ, not in the law, because Christ ended the law. So everything that goes with the law, throw it out. Throw it out. Let it go. I want to say it was yesterday, but I was sharing with somebody, it might have been over in Ephesians. I'm not going to look it up right now. But what it was, it had to do with the very fact. Oh, I know it was. It's in Romans 7. I just remember. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Romans 7.
Amen.
And it don't say a whole lot in this first verse, but once you unpack it, you can see it. And you can read on down, and it talks about, you know, the laws and everything. It explains the laws, and you're going to find out that Paul, or the writer, people say it was Paul, but the writer of the book of Romans realized what faith killed him. The law killed him, and he came back alive once he had faith. But before that, the law dominated him because he was under that. He was being controlled by it. But that's not where I want to get to. I want to go to the very first verse. It says, know ye not, you don't know this, brethren, For I speak to them that know the law, how that the law have dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For those that know the law, do you know the law? Do you know it all? If you don't, then you don't need to be living by the law. Because he said, know ye not, brother, for I speak to them that know the law. You ain't speaking to no anybody. You ain't speaking to no dummy. You're speaking to somebody that know the law. Like over there in Luke 10, when Jesus was talking to the lawyer who knew the law. He so thought he did. And Jesus had to give him a parable to wake him up. The parable was about the man that went down Jericho Road and fell among thieves, and they beat him and left him half dead. But the law, so Jesus asked him, so what is written in your law? He says, oh, to love thy God with all thy heart and thy might and thy soul and thy neighbor as thyself. So Jesus said, okay, what you got that right. Now go do it. So then the lawyer thought he would justify himself. And then he said, then who is my neighbor? And so Jesus broke it down to him and gave him a parable. See, because you got a lot of slicksters out here that think they know the law, but they don't know the law. You do not want to live by the law. You want to live by the law that's in Christ Jesus. Because it has set you free from the law of sin and death. Listen at that right there. Just listen at that. The law of sin and death. Law of sin and death. That's what the law. So when you practicing the law, you practicing sin and death. That's what it's going to end up being. Sin and death. That's what you're practicing. The law of sin and death. I think that's in Romans 8. I don't know, Pastor, did you want to read this 7th chapter, the first verse out of another translation?
Yes, Pastor, from the Message Bible, Romans 7 and verse 1. You shouldn't have any trouble understanding this, friend, for you know all the ins and outs of the law, how it works, and how its power touches only the living. Amen.
See, that's for people who live by that law. Now watch this. After you go through the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, he says this. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The law can't condemn you if you're in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. See, he calls it the law of sin and death. You're free from that. There is no... Now, when you talk about the laws of Moses, you're talking about the law of sin and death. It just couldn't handle business for you. It couldn't do what you needed done. So he says, for where the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Woo, that is powerful, man.
Yes,
after they had killed Jesus, and I can show y'all this in the scripture, after they had killed Jesus, they thought they did. For sin, they realized they made a mistake. For the wages of sin is death. So Jesus hadn't sinned. So it had to be announced throughout the universe, throughout the entire world. They have not did the right thing. Justice stood up and justice said, y'all just condemned the man unlawfully. You crucified him. and he had no reason to die. So his mortal body had to come back alive. How I know that? When Jesus was on his way back to the Father, they saw him to touch him. He said, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. See, that body,
amen,
was a sinless body. So he had to go and sit at the throne of God because Jesus had passed all the tests. And we'll get into that another time. But he had passed all the tests. So death could not hold him. So death, where's your stain? Grave, where's your victory? You don't have none now. You can't hold Christ because he hadn't seen it. The only people that died should die because of sin. Jesus had no reason to die. It was unethical. It was immoral. It was unjust. So the wheels of justice said, loose him and let him go. Can't hold him now.
Man.
He had the victory over the grave. Listen, brothers, he did all of that for us.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
That's why the Bible called the law of life, the law of the new creation, is a perfect contrast to the law of the old covenant. You do remember the first law is called the law of sin and death. That's why I read that, because that was the first law. The law of the new covenant is called the law of the spirit of life. One law, in other words, put you in bondage, and the other law set you free from this law of sin and death. Don't you want to be free from the law of sin and death?
Yes, amen.
Yeah, that was a fearful title that was given to the first law. If you hear that, the law of sin and death. Man, it took me a long time to hear that. I finally heard that thing in my spirit, Pastor. Both sin and death are the adversary. So that the old covenant law was given to man who were governed by the adversary, who had a satanic nature and lived under Satan rule. See, that's why I took you to the scripture to show you over there in Romans 7, is that it's called the law. And I'm going to try to hear this. We may get into it. I don't know. It's early Sunday. I don't know. Wherever the Lord lead. But the thing I'm going to share with you, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. See, these are people who know the law. They know that it's called the law of sin and death. Can't get around it. So you can practice all of that you want to. And if you do one wrong thing with the law, you're guilty of them all. Okay? That's the ironing of this. I'm going to continue on. I see anybody put their hand up. I went back to see. Okay. See, it's called both the sin and death of the adversary. That's that old nature. And you can't do anything about it. That's the sad part about it, because it governs everybody that's under Satan's realm. It was never to govern the new creation. It was never allowed to govern. The law of sin and death was never allowed to govern the new creation. See, no man that is born again has any more part of that life. And I know I'm going to get some flack behind this, For no man that is born again has any part of that lot in the New Testament, in the Ten Commandments. You know why? I'll tell you why. They were all fulfilled in Christ and set apart. That's why. Christ fulfilled the Ten Commandments. Woo, that'll make somebody shout right there. Knowing that we couldn't do it, Christ did it for us. You see, he fulfilled the Abrahamic covenant first, and after that was fulfilled, everything connected with the covenant was set aside and finished and rolled up together in that first document. Then Jesus, if you think about it, he introduced this new covenant, which is the first covenant was sealed with the blood of the bulls and of the goats. The second covenant was sealed with the blood of Jesus.
Mm.
And one scripture says, I think it's in the book of Hebrews, the third chapter. It says that nowhere in the world, this is one of them translations, nowhere in the world can the animal blood take away the sins of the human. Can't even be compared. Boy, that's powerful, y'all. That is powerful. No good will. God said, you know, hey, I let y'all do that to show y'all what was to happen. And that's why Paul said that the law was a shadow of what was to come, or the good things that was to come. See, he just let that law stuff go to give y'all give us an idea of what lies ahead for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
But it was all fulfilled in Christ. And he set aside. I just think that is so marvelous. This first last covenant was preferred before the first covenant, but God went on to let the first covenant happen so you'll understand and appreciate the second covenant. See, the new covenant that is under the new covenant, new creation, it's under the new covenant. It had a new law given to them by Jesus himself. Jesus gave us this. Remember in John 13:34-35. Now, this will blow you away unless you ask the Holy Ghost to give you the interpretation of it, give you the guidance of it. It'll blow you away. The new covenant or the new commandment I give unto you. Now, if it's new, it's never been part of anything old. Wait a minute.
Amen.
Let me back, because somebody didn't hear that. I said if it's new, it was never part of anything old.
That's right.
So you can't say, well, that's the Ten Commandments. No. That's old. This is new. That's where this is going to get deep. It's new. Now, those that have been fortunate enough to have a new car, I guarantee you, you wouldn't want no bald head tires on that new car, because it's supposed to be new.
That's right.
Y'all ain't talking to me, but I'm telling you,
yeah.
If it's new, then it's new. You know or you don't. And if you know that you know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know that if it's new, it's new. I guarantee you, Pastor, did you see that nice pantsuit? Half of it got old material and the other half got new. Pastor ain't buying it. Promise you she ain't going to buy it. She going to get
that dress.
Amen. The top of it is new and the bottom of it is old. And they selling it as a new dress. She ain't buying it. Guarantee you she ain't buying it.
Amen.
Got a new garment, brothers and sisters. Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. When Jesus says is new, maybe you don't understand that word like you thought you did, but the Pauline epistles, a revelation, explains this. And you have to get into it, and we will at some point in time. But today, I want to make sure we all get this. A new commandment I give unto you. So don't be telling me about no old stuff. It don't have nothing to do with it. Nothing you think of, oh, forget it. It's over. Old stuff is old.
Yes.
New stuff is new. So let me see it new. Give me something. Now watch this new commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now, I know y'all going to give me all these Greek terminologies and these other definitions and explain it like this and like that. I ain't trying to hear. It's a new kind of love. It's the God kind. God never before required us to love like him. Now, let me go and just knock your socks off for real. I'm going to go and knock your socks. You got to do it like Jesus did it. How about that one, huh? How about that one, will you please?
Yeah.
You got to love like Jesus loved. That's something the devil can't do, y'all. Can't do it. He can't do it.
Amen.
A new commandment I give unto you, that ye, see, when you're bound by the flesh, you can't love like this. Because the flesh is going to rise up every time and say, why should you? He ain't did nothing for you. She ain't did nothing for you. That ain't your responsibility. See, that's how flesh talk, man. You got to know, this is a new commandment. This commandment says that, well, I'm going to let Pastor read it out of another translation. I want to see what it say. But that's John 13:34-35. The Gospel of St. John 13:34-35. He said, now I'm going to give this unto you. That means you got to receive it. That first and foremost, you may not receive it because you may not want to do this. But if you do, he said that ye love one another as I have loved you. This is a new law. This is a new love law, which we'll talk about at another point in time. But right now, we got to open this up for you to understand that ye also love one another. And it's not predicated on your theological viewpoint of love or somebody else's. No, it's all predicated on us doing it like Christ. He says, I want you to love just like I love. I laid my life down, you got to lay yours down. Uh-oh, boy, that road show just got thin then. They put the responsibility on Christ, and it's not, it's on all of us. We all got to love. You got some neighbors you got to love. You got some exes that you got to love. You got some of those backbiters you got to love. You got some haters. Them haters you got to love.
Amen.
Yeah, them that don't speak to you, them that have held things from you, and you know they should have gave you that. I mean, you got some bosses. Some bosses that have been just prejudiced and selfish, and they won't give you a raise. You ought to be having a raise, and they won't give it to you. Sorry, Pastor. You got to love them like Christ loved you.
Amen.
Last time I checked, when Christ loved us, he didn't bring anything that you had all with you. He loved you just the way you were.
Thank you, Lord.
You didn't have to go and put on a long dress. You didn't. Well, you know, a woman can't wear pants. You didn't have to do that. He saved you in overalls. I just wish some people wake up, man. Don't limit God. Stop limiting God in you. God can do what he wants, A, because of grace and mercy. And then the other reason, stop trying to keep people out of the kingdom of God with your foolish religious theories. Mm-hmm. Well, they ain't get this and they ain't get that. Well, yeah, you got the power if you got the Holy Ghost in you. But if you don't have it, you don't have no control. You're living by the flesh.
Yeah.
And don't think everybody can do it because you're doing it. But go ahead, read that passage for me, please.
Okay. So from the Message Bible, John 13 and 34 and 35, it says, let me give you a new command. Love one another in the same way I love you. You love one another. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. Amen. Praise God. Reading that from the New Living Translation, 34 and 35, it says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Amen. Amen.
That's powerful.
Yes, it is.
If you want to know a true disciple, they ain't talking about no law. That's number one.
Amen.
That's number one. Number two, they're too busy trying to act like Christ acts.
Yeah.
And number three, they're not full of doubt. They're not walking around here telling people, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that, and that's what Christ did. And see, they don't know, especially those that know, think they know the law. Christ fulfilled the law.
Yes.
He fulfilled it. And he did, after he fulfilled it, he ended it. Let me say that one more time, and I'm going to be done.
Yeah.
Ended it. Now, there's a lot of ways you can end a thing. Several ways you can end a thing. But to put the end to it is to kill it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Say that.
Some people, they end their have ended marriages. Some people have ended their assignment on a job. Some people have ended relationship, and you still got the phone number. No, delete it. If you still, some of you got exes, and you wonder why, because you still got the number. You ain't ended nothing. You still want to hold their banner. You ain't ended nothing. You still got their jersey from college. You ain't ended nothing. Give it to them. Let it go. You know, see, when you end something, there's no more remembrance. Can I say that one more time for you? I say when you end something, there is no more remembrance. It's dead. It's gone. It went bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's why you can't get to the next level. That's why you can't get up. Because you're still being held down by the sins of this world or by whatever it was you ain't killed yet. Kill it. End it.
Amen.
Last time I checked, the rain was going so bad and lightnings and everything. The man came on and said, this game is ended. That man didn't start no more. Everybody went home. It's ended.
Yeah.
When the Bible says Christ is the end of the law, hear that with your spirit, man. Know what that means.
Mm-hmm. It's done. It's over.
Yeah. It's over.
Yeah.
It's then. Long time ago, some of y'all may remember this, some of you may not, but they used to have this lion, but the lion, I think, was a tiger or lion something, but at the end of the night, around 1 o'clock, he would give this growl, and then underneath it said the end, and everything go blank. But, you know, TV stay on 24/7 now, but that's what it used to be.
Right.
The end. You remember
right.
that, Pastor?
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
After they sang the Lord's Prayer, then it was over. It was done.
Yeah.
Amen.
It was over. It was the end.
Amen.
They used to make movies, and all of them would have, most of them would have the end on the end of it. So
yeah.
there was, then you know, it was over. Get up and go to the house now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that movie, I ain't been to the movies in a long time. People probably looking at me like I'm crazy for what I'm finna say. But we used to go to the movies, and then right at the end, that sign would come up there, says, the end. And everybody knew to get
that's
up.
Right. That's right.
It was the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's over.
Amen.
Christ is the end of the law.
Yeah,
not for everybody. Let me correct myself. It ain't for everybody. Guess who is it for, people? For believers.
Yes, amen.
See, that just separated the believers from the non-believers. Because if they still want to hear about the law, they're not true believers.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, they don't appreciate what God doing for them anyway. Because God let Jesus Christ into that thing. Accept what he done did for you. Accept it and move on.
Yeah.
He took that monkey off your back and you don't even know it. Because you hadn't received it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Bible says in St. John 1, as many as received him, to them he gave the power. Not everybody, but the ones that receive his teaching, acknowledge who he was, receive him in their spirit. But I'm going to leave it right there. And then maybe we'll pick it up and talk about the law, the love law. Might we need to talk about the love law. Over there in 1 Corinthians, Paul gives this revelation. I know a lot of people preached it, but they're not preaching it as the new law.
Yeah, yeah.
They want to break it down and show, but it's a new law, man. That's why the Bible said the greater of these is love.
Because
that's a new law. That's our law.
Yeah.
One of them. And when you got a new creation, you got to have new laws. Can't operate under the man don't put old wine in a new vessel. They ain't had it done. Since we're new creatures, we need new laws.
Yeah.
And that new law come with faith.
Amen.
With your own faith. And there's a lot of things. Well, tomorrow's Friday, right? Well, we may touch on that tomorrow a little bit too. See, the law of the very heart of Christ. Well, okay, we'll see. It's powerful. Okay, it's really powerful, brothers and sisters, to know that there is revelation to the law of love. It's being unfolded. We don't even have a clue of how good God loves us. Man, I just, you know, I'm going to be honest with y'all. I stopped and cried, man, and said, Lord, how could you love us like that? It makes you shed tears, man, when you can see how God really loves us and what he did for us. Because like you said, where he gave his only begotten son, boy, it's so much deeper than that. So much deeper. That was nothing compared to what God was doing for us. We hadn't even seen. It ain't, haven't even entered the hearts of man, the stuff that God wanted to do for us. I mean, that's the kind of love. It's like, oh, I don't care. I don't care what they do. It ain't bothering my love. God gonna love you anyway. Now, the people live by the law, oh boy, everything bothers them. You dress too long. You dress too short. You hair the wrong way. Everything bothers. Because that's what the law does. It kills you. It's called the law of sin and death. It kills you. You will die. Trying to keep it, you will die. Because it's called the law of sin and death. Can't get around it. That's what we see in every chapter. You're going to see, Paul said, when he saw that law, it killed him, man. He was gone. Boop. He was gone. He was out of there. Killed him. But see, if he hadn't seen that law, he'd been all right. But once he saw it, killed him.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else? Press 1. Okay. Pastor, you have any last words for us?
No, Pastor. You just summed it up there. Amen. You're doing a new thing in us. Amen.
Yeah.
That's what I like, the old things have passed away. So hold all things are new.
Say that one more time. How many of these things are new? What you say, Pastor? Some
old
of them are new.
Old things have passed away.
Uh-huh.
All things.
All?
Mm-hmm.
Like A-double-L?
All.
Oh, wow. Isn't that interesting? All things.
Yeah.
So why people still want to try to bring the old stuff?
They haven't let go. Gotta let go and let God. Believe him at his word.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Walk in the newness of Christ.
That's it?
Amen.
Well, thank y'all so much. Thank y'all so much, and especially thank you, Pastor, for engaging and hanging there with me. We'll see you all tomorrow for the Word at Noon.